Praise God. Hallelujah. We serve a good God, don't we? We're singing this morning about the Father, that how much He loves us. Is that right? Does He love us? Does He love us? Some are convinced, I think, that He loves us. But He does. He loves us. You know, He loves us with that everlasting love, doesn't He? Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I've spoken twice recently on the Father Heart of God. And guess what I'm going to speak about this morning? Father Heart of God. I planned all along to do three Sundays of Father Heart of God. And, you know, some think that the greatest commandment has now been superseded by the Great Commission to go preach the good news. Okay? Now, the greatest commandment, you all know, don't you? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, okay? And thy neighbor as thyself, is that right? That's the great commandment, okay? Now, there is no conflict between that, as I've said many times before, that and the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is that right? You know, when we debate about which is the most important or whatever, they're both important. Because we're meant to tell about this good news, but it's the motivation and the reason, if you like, of doing it. What is the reason we do it? Turn with me to Philippians 1, 15 and 16. Philippians chapter 1. Yeah. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, 15 and 16. It is true that some, this is Paul speaking now, his letter to the Philippians. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. Envy and rivalry. But others out of goodwill. Verse 16, the latter do so in love. So, when I come up here and speak, or anybody else, whether it be Zach, whether it be Marie last week, whether it be any of us, I try to consider the reason why I'm doing it. What is my motivation? What is it I want? Well, really, it's what the Father wants. Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. He only said what He heard the Father saying. And so for us that come up here, it's important that we do hear the Father heart of God for His people. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Because He operated out of that place of only wanting to do what the Father's will was. So if you want to see the Father, you look at what Jesus did. Is that right? If you read the Gospels and you want to get an idea of what the Father's like, this word tells us about him. And I encourage all of you here at Riverside Church that we get into the Word of God. In John chapter 1, let's just turn there. Let's just read it and make sure we get it absolutely right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God. He, speaking to him, speaking as a person, the Word. Jesus became the living Word. The more you take in of the Word, the more you take in of him. Is that right? The more you take in of the Word, the more you take in of him. Back to Philippians. Philippians 1 and verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. I should have told you to keep your finger in there, shouldn't I? By the way, do you like my trousers? Do you like my trousers? They might look a little bit creased now because of the fact that, you know, I have worn it. This isn't the first time I've worn them. But what happened was, when we were away about 3 weeks ago, we were up in London, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I want a new wardrobe. And I didn't mean the structural thing in the bedroom. I meant the contents of it. I said, Lord, I want a new wardrobe. And this was whilst we were at the PIH leaders gathering in London. And across the road is one of these really big Marks and Spencers. Ginormous, you know. And on the door splashed a great big notice, up to 70% off. So I went across there to have a look, and I said, Lord, to start with, I'd like some blue and some grey trousers. Okay? So I went across there, and I couldn't find where the sale was. There's no notices inside. So I asked this lady, and she says, oh, they're downstairs by the tills, the last dregs that we've got. There's hardly anything left now. We've just put them down there by the till. And so I went off down there, and I looked, and I couldn't see anything for a while, and then I had to ask somebody else, because I'm seeing the tills, but I can't see where this sale is. And this lady said, oh, it's over there. And there's just a few items left, mainly ladies' bikinis. I mean, clearing the summer stock, obviously. And I thought, oh, what a waste of time. And so what I did was, I thought, I might as well go now, because there looks to be an odd item or two there of men's clothes. They'll probably be just extra, 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 extra small. They usually are, aren't they? I mean, you know, the last little bits. And I went over there, and there's just a few pairs of trousers left. And three of them fit me. In blue and grey. And the total bill came to £10.60 for three pairs of trousers. And the original price on all of them, if you'd have... the full price was about £110. So I thought, thank you, Lord, what a good start to my new wardrobe, if you like. Three pair of trousers. So there we are anyway. And I tell you what, this was the grey I actually wanted, because I'd seen them before some time ago. So, pardon? You know, you receive not, God says, because you ask not. So I asked him and I was specific and I got it. Usually when I go look at those few items that are left in the sale and what have you, I mean, they're no good to me. But my size has gone by then, you know. So anyway, okay, Philippians 1 and verse 10. So that you may be able to discern what is best. And this is my prayer. Sorry. And this is my prayer, that you, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. What does God want for us from that? Eh? That we would grow in the knowledge of this love he has for us. Faith, people talk about faith and having confidence in God. You will have more faith in God if you understand how much he loves you. And I've used the example many times before. Bear with me, those who've heard it before. And that is, you imagine two girls about 15. Does this keep cutting out? Pardon? My phone. My phone's turned off. It's in my bag down there. It must be somebody else's phone. They might find that when they get home and they answer the phone, I'm speaking to them. It's being recorded on a message there. So you'll get the preaching twice. Now, these two girls, you imagine, they get to the age of 15 and they say, we'll go to London. We'll have a day out. Never been to London before. You know, they're trying to spread their wings and do something they haven't done before. And these two girls decide it's going to cost £50. We can get away with £50, okay? So they decide they're going to ask Dad for £50. Which of those two girls are going to have the most confidence when they go to ask Father? Okay. One of them, Dad cuddles her, loves her, brings gifts home for her, looks to different ways of trying to bless her and encourage her. And the other one is quite abusive with his daughter. Now, which of those two girls is going to have the most confidence, the least fear when they approach their father for this £50? Faith works through love. Your faith will escalate once you know how much you are loved by this almighty God. He loves you. He loves you. We've sung about it this morning. And do you know something? We cannot hear this message too much. There were people here in Philippians, written about here in Philippians by Paul, that preached the gospel out of the wrong motive. He still didn't want to stop them. Just get the word out. He was happy that the word was going out. But you'll find that those who do it through this revelation of the fact that they are loved, they'll have more confidence when they stand up to speak. They will have more confidence when they actually lay hands on the sick and look to God to heal them. Is that right? Is this right? He wants you to know. Do you know, you cannot know enough about how much he loves you. You can't. Well, Dave Parker's spoken about this before. Oh, we heard it from a conference 4 years ago. We know all about that God loves you. But I'm talking about knowing where it changes your attitude to everything in life. You get up on a morning, and instead of your time with him being a chore, when you know right down in your knower that you're having fellowship with somebody that loves you, is that not going to change your connection with them? Is that not going to change your motivation? Knowing that, have you ever, I don't know whether it goes on today quite the same, but you know, back when I was younger, teenager, 20s, you know, if you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend, okay, and you were seeing them in the evening, there was a little bit of a spring in your step, weren't there, eh? Is that right? I don't know whether that goes on today. I don't know whether it brightens you up. And, you know, the thought, well, tonight I've got a date. I am meeting them. Because something has stirred your heart as regards this person. And it's the same when we know that we're loved by God. And he wants to meet with us. And he wants to, it's a new dance, Anne. We're teaching it tonight, okay? Meeting leaders have got to catch on to it, you know. We all do it in step, Anne. He loves you. He loves you. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. But whatever it is you've done, he said, put it on my account. He's paid for it. So you can come to him knowing that the cost of that, he paid for it. You come into somebody that tell him about your failure. He says, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. Is that love? Is that love that will pay the price for your failure and mine? Pay the price for it. Human beings want retribution, don't they? They want a price paid. You've got to pay a price. God says, I'll pay the price. I've paid the price. Come to me. I'll show you I've paid the price. You know, any of you heard of Brother Yen? The Chinese persecuted Christian. Tortured in prison, lived a nightmare of a life, finally got out of China, didn't he? And he's been around the world speaking and written some books. And he says, Christians in the West do not need persecution because they persecute one another. Sadly. They persecute one another, finding fault with one another, critical, judging one another, sadly. And it comes out of, this is my opinion, an orphan spirit Jesus said, I'll not leave you as orphans. Bill Johnson says that for the best part, Christians around the world operate out of an orphan spirit. And do you know what an orphan spirit is? Not knowing that you've got parents. Not knowing that you've got a mother and father. Some people can have mother and father. They've had a bad upbringing and things like that. And they've not known really what a mother and father should be. And many of us do, until we get that revelation of the fact that we're loved. We do operate out of that spirit of fatherlessness and motherlessness. And let me just explain when I say fatherless and motherless. When God created Adam, initially, before he took Eve out of there, he created him in his image. And you can't see the image of God without seeing the mother side as well. Because it was in there. His image is reflected through the matriarchal side as well. Which, like the mother hen with her chicks there. Okay? That the male side is going to attack somebody that comes near. That's a different expression. That's the way I've always believed over the years. That it should be a man and a woman that leads the church. Because of the fact that the woman sees something that the man doesn't. And it's the mother inside of mothering church, mothering the people. The father heart of God is reflected through the matriarchal and the patriarchal. The defending side. I will defend my people. And the caring side. This is the father heart of God. Looking after his family. Looking after his children. I listened one day last week to Edith Eger. Now, I don't know if any of you heard of her, but she was in Auschwitz. She survived Auschwitz. And she said the ones that had more chance of survival were the ones who actually cared for others. They forgot about themselves and they got about caring for others. She says, the what about me's, what about me, what about me, found it more difficult to survive in Auschwitz. Aren't you glad the father got to the prodigal before his brother? For those who don't know the story of the prodigal, the prodigal son went off, wasted his inheritance, took his wrenched, if you like, his inheritance from his father long before his father died, which within that community and that was actually thought of as the prodigal being the lowest of the low. If the locals had got hold of him first, they would have probably beaten him or killed him or whatever for bringing dishonor upon his father for what he'd done. And the prodigal's brother, I've worked for you all these years, he said to his dad, I've done this, I've done that, I've propped the church up, I've I've done this in the church, I've done that, I've witnessed to 10 people 4 years ago, and I think that the prodigal's brother would have actually said to him, "You need to get your life in order, boy. You need to get your life in order. You need these things to address in your life." What did the father do? He ran out there. He put on him a robe to cover his muck, cover his failure, threw it on him. Fell on his neck, stinking of pigs, and kissed him. Because I believe the father knew. If his brother gets to him first, or the locals get to him first, when he comes back, when he comes to the end of himself. So he put the robe on him, and he probably had no shoes on. Slaves, he'd become a slave, he'll have had no shoes. He'll have walked miles, feet cut, sore, didn't know how to keep going. And dad comes out and puts shoes on his feet, which actually reflected sonship. "You're my son." Only the sons in the house had shoes. And he gets straight out there and puts a ring on his finger, which gave him authority. In other words, today it's like being able to write dad's checks. They had a print on the end of the ring, put the ring on his finger. "You're part of this family again." And that's how God the Father is with us. Yes, there needed to be adjustments. Yes, he needed to learn. He probably learnt in that moment more than what his brother had learnt working and striving all over the years. Getting up on a morning and having his Bible study and his prayer time out of "grit my teeth and I'll make it happen." And the other one got the revelation and would have got up on a morning, "Yes, Lord, yes, Father, yes, Lord. I'm looking forward to being with you this morning." All them years and never knew that he was loved. How many of us are going to go to heaven and not know how much he loves us? I've said it so many times when I've talked about this. Please don't be upset that I repeat it again. John 3:16 is the most probably well-known verse, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, but least understood. How much love does it take to actually put the failures of the world upon your son? For people who would not want to know you, how much love does that take? Him nailed to that cross is a greatest demonstration of God's love for you and me. Those nails driven into him, hands and feet. And we can read that scripture and miss it, just like so many other scriptures. We can read that and still not know we're loved. If you ask most Christians, "Are you loved by God?" they'll nearly all say yes. But the revelation of it that changes our lives and means something, where we don't judge one another, where we don't criticize one another, where we don't try to change people's lives ourselves. We allow the love of God to change it. inside us. Sometimes it's never happened for us. We've read the scripture, we've looked at it, but we're still striving with one another. Where it says in there, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. You know, sometimes there's envy and rivalry within our homes, when the nest at home should be built in love. It's the best way in which children can grow up. Karen and I have tried to work on the principle that the best thing we can give our children is to love each other. And if I don't love my wife, which is a good gauge, all right, it's a good gauge, because I want to grow in love for you as well. But a gauge of whether I'm growing in love is, do I love her more than I did last year? I tell you what, if I do not love her more now than I did 12 months ago, I don't believe I've grown in God. Yeah, but wait, I've been on an evangelism course. I went on a training thing last week and I've learned all this. I couldn't care what you've learned. If you haven't grown in love, I don't believe you've grown in God. Bill Johnson describes it this way. He says, every revelation you get, if it doesn't bring you closer to Jesus, closer to God, I can't remember which one he named you, but it'll only make you more religious. I believe it only makes us more striving, more trying, more working at it often, trying to make it happen. But we need to do it creating that environment of love. I'm going to get nowhere near through all this. Galatians 4, 4 to 7. Hang on a minute. I am jumping. Do you know why the body of Christ has been in such a mess at times over the years? Because people don't discern the body. When we're judging and we're critical about maybe how we run the church or somebody runs what, there's nothing wrong with us seeing things and doing it in love. But they're not discerning that the person next to you, the person over there, is the body of Christ. Pulling pieces off. Sit over the Sunday table, the Sunday dinner, and pull in pieces from the body of Christ. A good friend of mine who's gone home to be with the Lord now, he one day was having his time with the Lord, I think it was, and all of a sudden the Lord transported him in the spirit to a prison in China. And he actually went physically, and they're looking into this prison. And there's prisoners there, and they're all falling out with one another. I thought, what are they? These are, and you realize these are Christians. And they're all falling out with one another in this prison cell. But then when he got a bit closer and he listened, he found out the reason they were falling out is because of the fact that one of them was going to be executed next morning. And they all wanted to be the one for the sake of the others. And the Lord said to him at that time, in that experience that he had, he says, that is the only falling out that I accept in my body. That's the only disagreements and falling out that I accept in my body. amongst my people. John 4:16. I'm going to try and whip along with this because there's so much that I actually want to fit in. You know, we try to finish by about 12. We try to finish by 12. But maybe we ought to start earlier. Maybe we ought to start earlier. John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Now, in other translations that many of you got, it says know and believe. Believe. I can tell you this, and then you go maybe spill your coffee or spill your tea upstairs and you forget all about the fact that you're loved. Your trousers are a mess, or your new clothes are a mess, and what have you. What John's talking about here is knowing, but taking it by faith, regardless of what you feel, what happens to you today, tomorrow. You're talking about a man that writes this, that there's enough evidence now, the historians say, to say that this man was the only disciple that wasn't executed. But they did try to kill him, and they tried to boil him in oil. Then they threw him out on Patmos, thinking nobody's ever going to live on that island, and he writes Revelation. And he has an encounter with God. So when he's going through that, he has to believe it. Because the circumstances around him says that, well, God's forgotten me. God doesn't love me anymore. How can he write something like that with some of the things that he had to go through and some of them other disciples? But it's knowing and it's believing it that you and I are loved. Hebrews 4:2. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. You can go on forever. Oh no, Dave Parker's here again. He's talking about the Father heart of God. And we keep on hearing it. And here it talks about you've actually got to mix it with faith. Combine it with faith. Combine it with, yeah, I believe it. I believe it. It's about sometimes making a decision. I've booked somebody to come next June to actually speak about the Father heart of God connected with James Jordan. You'll get the same sort of thing, folks. You'll hear it again, but you can't hear it enough, and you'll still be hearing it 1,000 years from now. You'll still be hearing it 1,000 years from now. 1,000 years from now, when you're in heaven, you'll be getting more revelation about how much he loves you. How much he loves you.